So good morning. Over the summer, we've been taking a journey through the book of Acts. And so we've got to see how God used the events in the lives of the earliest group of believers to spread the good news of what Jesus had done all across the known world. So the name Acts for this book is short for the Acts of the Apostles. So we're talking about the things that the apostles did in the early church to spread the gospel. Well, I had a professor of church history when I was in Bible college who used to say that he thought a better name for the book Acts would have been the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because it was really because of the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit when it came down on the people that the disciples ever got out of the upper room in the first place. And so for us today, I would kind of like to think that we are living in the continuation of the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the sequel, so to speak, of what was begun early in the church continues today. You and I, here and now, have access to the same Holy Spirit that was working in Paul and Peter and John and all of the disciples in the times of the early church. The same Spirit that guided them, that showed them where to go, that gave them the words to speak, that gave them the power to heal, that caught fire in the hearts and souls of millions as the gospel spread throughout the world. The same Holy Spirit is here with us today. So the big question we have is, how do we cultivate a life that is connected and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God? I kind of like to think of it a bit in the metaphor of like a radio. You know, in here right now, there are hundreds and thousands of radio waves buzzing all around us from sources all over the place. And if we had a radio with an antenna, we could tune in to any of these frequencies and then get to hear the message that they're trying to spread. But if we don't, they can buzz all about us and we are none the wiser. Now, the power and presence of God is alive in this room and in this world and in our lives. So the question is, how do we tune in to God's frequency? Today, I want to talk about seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit and trusting the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I want us to get into real life practicals about living a life that is guided by the Spirit of God. This isn't some abstract idea. It's real. It's practical. I want us to get a life that is sensitive to what God is doing and wants to do in us and among us and through us. And by doing this, we can see in real terms how God can bring about transformation in our lives to make us more like Christ and to spread the message of his love in places where it desperately needs to be heard. Now, we must make an effort every day to seek out the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to be in tune and asking God, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do this morning, this hour? What do you want to do at this meeting I have at work or with this dinner I'm going to have with my friend? What do you want to do with this trip to the coffee shop? We can seek out his will every day, in every situation. But it becomes a little easy for us to get away with business as usual. I know it's easy for me to live out my life every day, even sitting here in my church office, writing messages and planning sermons and events, to get on my own track and hop off of seeking the will of God. I have to admit it. Sometimes it becomes too easy to think that the will of God in the Spirit only move in big, broad stroke, big picture ways. You know, God cares about what I'm doing for work or who I marry. But he's not all that concerned with the details Or sometimes it's easy to only think about it in terms of what has happened retrospectively. You know, it's that footprints in the sand kind of thing. When we look back, we can see that God was present and active in doing something, but we don't often look to see where he is right now in the little things. But that's not the picture of the Holy Spirit that we get in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit is a daily experience, and it speaks in real ways. It gives us boldness and power. It gives us confidence to step into things where we may be uncertain, but trusting in the power of God that when we take chances for his sake, he will be faithful. And so I want to start with some practicals. This might seem like old hat, but trust me, it's good. One of the primary ways that God speaks to us and the Holy Spirit guides our lives is through prayer. If we don't invest in our prayer lives, it shouldn't be a shock when we don't hear the voice of God. Any instance of the Holy Spirit working and guiding people is always accompanied by prayer and seeking out God's will in the book of Acts. And like Pastor Judy said last week, the things that are so often descriptive in the book of Acts can be prescriptive for us and our faith walk. And so make time to speak with God, but not just to talk for yourself. Give him room to speak to you. Sit in silence. I know it's hard. Meditate on the things that you've read in Scripture, on the things that you've heard from the pulpit, and ask God maybe how he wants you to respond to the things going on in your lives, the relationships you have, the situations you see yourself in and day out. Ask God, what are you doing there, and how can I get on board? Second is to be in the Scripture. The Scripture is the yardstick for discernment in our lives of understanding the truth of matters of faith and the will of God for us. So when you see somewhere in your life where it's not in line with what God has called us to through his word, that's the Spirit calling you to repentance and to new life. Are you ever feeling encouraged or challenged, comforted, or convicted, or drawn to repentance by something you read in the Word? Pray and ask that God would give you boldness and courage to live in that truth. Third, make use of your close-knit Christian community. One of the highlights of my year is the Mexico mission trip, where I get to see these truths play out day in and day out for a week, where people work together and eat together, they pray together, and they dig into the Word together. And through discussion and hashing these things out and mulling over what God is doing, we help one another to see the transformational truths that God is revealing to each one of us. In our lives, it can be real easy to hear that word, to get that inspiration, to feel that twinge of the Holy Spirit pushing us one way or another. But when we don't take it to our community and say, this is what I think God is doing in my life, it becomes real easy to let it slide down and go by the wayside. Now, when I talk to people about hearing God's voice and trusting the Holy Spirit, when I describe things that have happened to me, and naturally I get the question, how do you know it's really God? That's the most important question we could ask. How do we know? And I want to tell you that when we have a community who is praying and in the Scripture, this is the context. This is sort of the pool of ingredients for discerning the true will of God in our lives. With the scriptures, God will not ask us or call us to anything that isn't in line with what he's revealed to us in his word. And so if you want to know, pick up the Bible and ask God, what do you have to say to me today? His truth lives there. And when you think maybe God is putting something on your heart, maybe he's speaking to you, take those things to your community, to your friends, to the people you trust, your spouse, your family, your parents, maybe your kids. They can help us understand what God is saying and what we should do about it. God can use others to confirm the things that he's doing, to provide insight or wisdom, to maybe provide some correction when our perspective is skewed or a little short-sighted. Now I want to tell you about one way that this has played out in my life. And hopefully this gives a little insight for you. About a year ago, I started a little experiment in my life. Many of you might not know this, but I have two offices as the youth pastor at St. Timothy's. The first one is over in our main office building, right next to Pastor Dan. And the second one is over at Starbucks on Couser. I spend a lot of time there. I go there to read my Bible in the morning, to pray, for meetings, or maybe just to get somewhere that has a window while I do my work. But I like to spend a lot of time over at that Starbucks. That's like home base for me. And with this little experiment, I decided that every time I went to Starbucks, I was going to pray that God showed up. I was going to say, God, I know you are already there. And so I want to be in tune with the things you might want to be doing there today. Now, I can't tell you everything that has happened. I don't have time. You don't have time for that. But what I can tell you is that when God shows up often enough in places and in relationships and in experiences, I've started to expect that God is going to be doing stuff there. And it's pretty cool. So I'll tell you about one particular time. I like to go over and crack open my Bible and spend a little time in the Word when I'm at Starbucks. And one day, out of nowhere, an employee that I'd seen there for years, never really said more to him than, tall coffee, thank you, walked up to me as I was reading my Bible. And it's this big book. It's kind of a huge one with these golden pages. And he walked up to me and said, "Hey, what are you reading?" And I thought, how many giant golden page books are there? I said, "Oh, it's the Bible." And he said, "You read that book an awful lot. How come?" God had opened up a door for me to share the wonderful experience of finding life and guidance and wisdom from his word with somebody, with a stranger. I didn't need a megaphone or a soapbox or anything. It's pretty awesome. God makes things happen when we seek to be in line with what his spirit is trying to do. He will make opportunities and he makes a way. He opens doors. Matthew 13, verse 23, describes the situation kind of like this. The seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. I think about this as the Holy Spirit factor in life. When God's word, when the power of the Holy Spirit takes root and grows, it produces a crop yielding 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. God multiplies the effort we put in when we trust him and take chances and let the Spirit push us out of our comfort zone. Now, when God is guiding your life and you're seeking out his will, the next step is to trust what he says. Now, how many of you have this friend? I'll admit I am this guy. When you're eating at a restaurant and you see them take the first bite and that veiled grimace comes over their face where you know that they don't like what they got, but they don't want you to know. You guys know that guy? And then it's always followed with, oh gosh, this is so good. You want to try some? And they shovel you like half of their dish to kind of pawn it off so they don't have to finish the whole thing. I am that guy. Beware. I'm a creature of habit. But seriously, getting real here, how come it is so easy for us to treat the guidance from God that we find in Scripture, that we hear and experience in worship, like it was a piece of food that we're not sure if it's really good or not, coming from a friend? When God offers it up and says, trust me, it's good. Try it. But we get hesitant to seize it. We get hesitant to take that step of faith and taste and see that the Lord is good. When we get guidance from God, we don't need to hesitate. Try it. Trust when God says that he will make good on his end of the bargain. I guarantee you that God will never hang you out to dry. He'll ask you to take leaps of faith. He'll ask you to try new things. He'll ask you to do the same old things in a new way. Maybe he'll ask you to stop doing things that you desperately don't want to. He'll ask you to forgive, especially the people you don't want to. He'll ask you to get real, to get personal. He'll ask you to tell your story, the real version of it. And God will produce a crop 30, 60, or 100 times what is sown. Now, it might be scary getting into God's plan. It might be hard. It's definitely going to be uncomfortable. But the chances that we take for the sake of Jesus are the things that draw us and others closer to him. And God does not extend this challenge out to us without also extending his love and his grace. And so I want to give you a word of encouragement here. When the Holy Spirit guides your life to be more in line with God's plan for you, it's not a set of burdensome rules or regulations meant to keep your life in line. The Holy Spirit is not a boogeyman to scare us into being the right kind of people. It is to give us abundant and full and joy-filled life. It's to set us free to be the people we were created to be. And it's maybe for the first time to try and put the square peg into the square hole. It's to have comfort and ease and peace in saying, you know what, God, I am not perfect. I'm messed up. I don't have it all together. But you still love me more than I could know. It's to know that you have not been abandoned. You have not been orphaned. You have not been left alone to fend for yourself in this world. And when we know this, it's no wonder that Paul, the one we read about in the book of Acts, who faced adversity and persecution, suffering, temptation, pain, loss, and betrayal, was still able to say, if God is for us, who could be against us? This God, who is always on our side, is the one who wants to guide us and lead us in his perfect way. Now, if some of this stuff feels new, feels different, like a new way of looking at the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, I encourage you, let's start with baby steps. Something I like to do in my devotional time that has done a lot for me in awesome and scary and uncomfortable ways is to pray the prayer, what do I know for sure, God, that you want me to do today? What do I know beyond a shadow of a doubt is your will for my life? This isn't some abstract grasping at straws or conjuring up ideas out of my mind exercise. This doesn't work without honest prayer, time spent in God's word, and discussion with my Christian community. And so here's my advice. Start simple and be faithful. God might not get crazy specific. It might not be like, Jeff, today I want you to go to the corner by Safeway on Union and talk to the guy in the blue sweater at 1:38 p.m. It might not happen like that. Probably not going to happen like that. I'm not going to bottle up the Holy Spirit, but don't bet on it. But what I do want you to know is that just because something is simple or obvious doesn't mean it's not God's will. And sometimes he is trying so hard to get the simple and the obvious across to us. Sometimes for me, it's as simple and obvious as admitting that I lost my temper with someone yesterday and that he wants me to make it right. But this all comes with a word of warning. Don't pray for God to reveal his will to you if you are not ready to follow through with it when he does. It is dangerous getting into the business of ignoring what you know God wants for your life. Don't get used to it. But trust that if God has asked you to do something, he will be with you in it, and that when you sow seeds, he will work in powerful ways to produce a crop and draw you and others closer to him. Now, as I wrap up today, I want to say this. And you can take this one to the bank. God's Spirit is alive and moving amongst us here today. The same Spirit that was there in the book of Acts is here today. The work that was begun then continues today. And God has extended the invitation and the opportunity. He has opened the door for us to walk through and be a part of it. And we just need to tune in. Every day, each meeting, every class, every trip to the coffee shop, a dinner with a friend, a bike ride or a hike, or your morning run, these are all places where God already is, and he's already working. And what we need to do is pray to get on board with God's plan. When Jesus says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, he follows it up by saying, ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the field. And so my prayer for us today, in closing, is that we would ask God to send workers into the field. That we would ask God to bring our lives in sync with his plan for them. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you have a plan for our lives and that you've sent the Holy Spirit, God, the comforter, the counselor, the advocate, to be with us, to live in us, to give us power and strength when we're weak, guidance when we're lost, comfort when we're hurting. God, we pray that our lives each day would be brought more and more in line with your plan for them. And God, we know that when you're working in us and through us, you will make the name of Christ famous. You will bring glory to yourself, and you will draw the broken, the hurting, the sinners, all of us, to you. Amen.